Good morning, Warren. Spring racing certainly in the air, isn't it? Terrific afternoon of racing across South Australia, New South Wales, and of course Victoria. Caulfield taking centre stage yesterday with the running of the Group 1 Menzies Stakes. You've well covered it at the top of the program, but Behemoth just continues to go from strength to strength, doesn't he?
He's a beast of a horse, and look, we saw it was there for everyone to see how well he'd come back, and Bo Rosser running well again yesterday too. So that form line held up, and you know, a jockey switched during the week, and gee, great to see Brett Prebble. That was one of the stories of yesterday also. Brett back in as a Group 1 winner, and he's really building momentum in Melbourne here in the last probably month or so, right throughout Victoria, not just in Melbourne, and he looks poised for a big spring, also picking up that ride on Incentivise, Joe.
As they do, returning jockeys from international racing jurisdictions, they have to work hard these days, especially to re-establish themselves in the very competitive metropolitan ranks, whether that be in Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane, for that matter. And Brett has been working tirelessly since his return from Hong Kong some time ago now to establish himself again as a Group 1 winning rider. His record speaks for itself, but it's another thing to try and reinforce your position in Melbourne these days. And obviously the events that transpired at the Airbnb at Mornington during the week, Warren, played into Brett's hands. He picked up the ride on the big horse Behemoth, replacing Jamie Carr. What can we say about that particular episode? All under investigation, obviously, but very disappointing, isn't it, the outcome there? The penalties, very harsh. Lots of debate about whether they were justified or not. But I'm sure those jockeys that have been outed are already feeling the pain, missing a big payday yesterday.
Yes, I'm sure if they had their time again, they'd play it differently. But, yeah, it's probably, you know, up to others to decide the penalty. And you're talking about Brett, and he'd done a really good job in aligning himself. I think so much has changed since Brett went to Hong Kong. He has come back here at times, and a Melbourne Cup victory part of that. But re-establishing relationships is hard because the world moves on. Lindsay Smith was a very good contact for him. He's developed a relationship with Peter Moody. So he's starting to work hard with the right people, and that, I think, is important too, because it's just frustrating when you're working that hard and not getting the opportunities. I've managed jockeys. I know how hard it can be for riders to maintain positivity. But, yeah, Brett seems to be in a really good space at the moment. He's very jovial and happy. When I do get a chance to get out on course at country meetings and do some work for racing.com, Brett's in a great frame of mind, and that's reflecting in his demeanour, but it's also reflecting in his riding. And I think targeting trainers like Lindsay Smith, Peter Moody, and surrounding himself with good people has been a big part of that.
Yeah, you wouldn't meet a more competitive or focused rider in Brett Prebble. I got to know Brett pretty well during my time working and living in Hong Kong, and he trains hard as well physically. I remember walking up the mountains of Tai Po one morning not long after I first arrived in Hong Kong. It nearly broke me because of trying to track Brett up those hills. But, I've never been fitter in my life after following those jockeys around those trails. But, Brett, great to see him get that opportunity yesterday and, as you say, in such a great space. And what about Grand Syndicates? An extraordinary 24, 48 hours for the team there. Sam Lyons is our guest this morning, standing by. They obviously won the Group 1 with Behemoth yesterday. Not only that, Behemoth was bestowed the honour of being South Australian Racehorse of the Year. And their filly, trained by Brett Kavanagh, It's Me, was also named New South Wales Country Racehorse of the Year. So a lot of accolades for the black and gold colours of Grand Syndicates, Warren.
Absolutely. And, well, before we talk to Sam and Dean Lester, Dan Malecki and I will talk about the race in detail after 9 o'clock, but in no small part, that win yesterday came through at just an outstanding tactical ride from Brett Prebble, but he did have the horse underneath him, and he was a bit fresh in the mounting yard yesterday too, so you'd think there's even more improvement for him to come, but I'm sure Sam Lyons will know a lot more about that, Joe.
And good morning to Sam. Welcome to the program. How are you this morning after what's been an enormous couple of days of success for the team?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me, Joe Warren. It's a big morning. Just set the alarm for this. So, just stretching the arms and looking at the day for the first time after a pretty tidy night's sleep. But yeah, It was huge. And that one meant a lot. Obviously, we had a few curveballs thrown at us over the last sort of 24 or 48 hours and even the week before, losing his normal jockey. But Brett was fantastic yesterday for us. And for the horse to be able to get it done, it was certainly an emotional one for Brett to watch afterwards, but it certainly was for us as well. And definitely meant a lot for all involved, I think.
Yeah, I'm tipping you were probably feeling quite disappointed and let down after the events that transpired in the earlier part of the week, and with Jamie Carr being stood down, the gun jockey that she is, you would have been ruining the loss of her being able to ride the horse on the day, I'm sure, initially anyway.
And I'll be honest, of course, I definitely did feel let down, and it was certainly really disappointing, you know, for that to have happened so close to, you know, people I know reasonably well in the industry too, was really disappointing. So, look, we're putting that behind us, and to be able to sort of come out on top was big. And I was sort of saying to David in the morning, the day before, I just wanted to get that race out of the way. I pulled out a few media things on the Saturday simply because I just wanted to get the race done and put this one behind us and hope and cross our fingers that it went well. But it did. Panned out sort of exactly how we thought it would from the gates, which was good. And then, obviously, just the brakes going on mid-stages meant that we had that horse coming back in our lap. And, you know, Group 1 gun jockeys make Group 1 gun decisions in a split second. And him to get off heels and put the horse into the race at the right time was, in my head, no doubt the winning move. So thanks very much to Brett. That was a ripper.
So how did that all come about with Brett, Sam?
Oh, look, when we heard a few nights ago, or a couple of nights ago, we were sort of scrambling. The first thing you do is check out who's available. And obviously the phone went wild. I basically ignored, I read all the messages and listened to messages, but I didn't respond to anyone sort of for the first 12 hours. Just David and I just had four or five phone calls backwards and forwards about who'd suit the horse and who was available. And look, Brett was always looking like he was going to be sort of the standout just on his record, but we just had to dot the I's and cross the T's and do the due diligence. And after plenty of backwards and forwards sort of phone calls, David and I, we just locked that in with Liam Pryor, his manager, that sort of next morning about 10 o'clock.
Well, it paid off, the decision. You put the right person on board. David, in his post-race comments, talked about the performance, and it's been discussed with Warren at the beginning of the program this morning. But his quote that I came across, I'm in awe of it. As a kid, you're in awe of those sort of horses. He's like a proper old-fashioned wait-for-age horse, and it is beyond my wildest dreams. That was a great race to watch. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and that's how we feel about it. I know how much David loves this horse. We talk about it all the time, and you hear it in his voice. He gets to work with him every day, and he's something special. And as he said to me the other day, I'll never train another one as good. And it's so true. He's bomb-proof. Like, he just doesn't let us down. I don't think he's ever really gone poorly without having a fairly clear excuse. So. And the fact that he just keeps buttering up every time we bring him to the races, or every prep he comes back, and he's as good as he was last time, if not a little bit better. And he's quirky at home, but geez, he's just, you love the horse. Like, and I mean, just unbelievably lucky that in my short time in racing, I've sort of been gifted an opportunity to work with a horse like this and be involved in a small way. And it's something that you sort of don't want to take for granted, because are we never going to get another one like him? And especially, you know, the whole story behind him, the $6,000 and all that sort of stuff, with John Price buying him. It's a big one. And look, I was speaking to the boss last night, Peter Morley, who owns Grand Syndicates, obviously, and as he said, this is the biggest 24 hours I've ever had in racing. The Group 1, and then Behemoth being named race SA's champion, and it's me as well. It's just the real pinch-yourself stuff, to be honest.
I remember when you first joined Grand Syndicates. Of course, the listeners that don't know, you and I both worked together at Sky Racing many years ago, and you took the step into the syndication world, and it was a brave step at the time because Grand Syndicates was a little known business, and you've been right there from the start. So for it to all culminate in what happened over the past couple of days is quite amazing for you.
Yeah, it was. You're right. Well, it hadn't actually started when I first went across. Peter asked me to come across and do some work with him with his other syndication business out of WA, which was Bellis Racing, and we sort of felt that that was just another brick in the wall. No disrespect to that, there wasn't a massive point of difference. We felt there was something really missing in the market with syndication at that stage, and that was just that real affordable, simple, full horse ownership of just something at the bottom end. So Peter came up with the Grand Syndicates idea, and we started that together, and that was 12 years ago. And all we wanted to do was prove to people you didn't need to spend a fortune to get some nice horses and have some fun. And I think, geez, after the last, 24 hours, but even the last couple of months, the Majestic Shots, the Garden up in Melbourne, there's some good young horses coming through, and it's very, very exciting.
How much has Behemoth in particular changed your life? We're pretty well versed with that now, but that of his owners involved who are playing at that lower level of investment.
Yeah, it's a really good group of people, and look, I say it all the time. You know, we'll probably never get another one, but especially when you sort of look at this market, we're not buying $25 million colts every year, so you don't sort of expect these to come along. But those guys that own him, geez, they're having the best ride of their life. I know there's a couple of families involved I won't say it's their life. That might sound a bit disrespectful. I certainly don't mean it like that. But it's, they love the ride. Every time there's something on or the races are on, you know, they travel in numbers. They follow him around the country. And it's a pretty amazing that you've got the ability to do that. And the horse, I guess, funds it too. So, you know, he goes to Sydney for the Everest. We go there. He goes to Melbourne for the All-Star Mile. They go there. The Racing Awards nights in SA, you go there. It's a pretty exciting life to live for a few years, and something that I'm sure that's, you know, memories for the rest of your life.
Yeah. The horse himself, how has he pulled up after the run late yesterday and perhaps even this morning? And what are the plans now, Sam, for the rest of the spring set in stone?
Look, I actually haven't had a report yet this morning. I set the alarm just to lob up for this. So I'll get that as soon as I jump off the phone. But look, he comes through his runs and never turns a hair. That's him. He's never come through a run that he's felt flat, other than, I would say, the All-Star Mile. I felt that run, he gave his all up on the speed that day on a heavy track, and it's the only time he did, and it was the end of a prep. Whereas this one, he'll bounce through no problems. All being equal, he will very likely go and defend his Rupert Clark crown. That race should be pretty tough this year, I would suggest, if we're bumping into Probabile, possibly Bo Rosser again, and there'll no doubt be some other nice horses sliding in there, and obviously we're going to carry some weight. Off the back of that, we would take a bit of a deep breath and see how he's gone there and which direction we go. Look, there's probably three options, I think. The sprint at the end of the carnival, the 2 million dollar mile race as well, which is just those two things have disappeared. The two names have disappeared out of my head. The two $2 million races over a mile and the 1200 at the end of the carnival will probably be his grand finals. We don't know which way he'll go yet, but there'll be a fork in the road towards one of them at this stage. And there's also a very, 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 very speculative Cox Plate nomination in there as well, which we'll just discuss at each step whether we start to head towards a plan that might put him towards that. But I'm not sure we'd be looking for the 2000 at this stage.
Yeah. Well, Behemoth justifiably getting much of the limelight in our discussion this morning. But before we let you go, Sam, a word on It's Me. What a fantastic achievement by that horse to be named New South Wales Country Racehorse of the Year, a horse that herself had a very challenging journey.
Yeah, and she's only just arrived back in Scone last week. Obviously has done two tendons. She's undefeated. Unfortunately, if she hadn't done that second tendon, she might have been the New South Wales Horse of the Year. Who knows? But, look, just lucky to have probably got what we have out of her at the moment. but she's spent nearly the best part of 9 or 10 months in rehab. She obviously won last year's Kosciuszko. She's back, which could be potentially in time for that race, but we're certainly not aiming for it in the way that we're putting her on a program specifically to get to it. We're just being led by the horse at this stage. So she had a lot of work under the belt with Lee Everson down in Victoria through her rehab. Now Brett's got her. He'll do some work with her over the next few weeks and just make a call as to where he thinks she fits in. She's obviously very fit, but a lot of the work that they do through rehab is no weight on the back, no saddle.
Yeah.
So obviously she's had a lot of that work now, which means she's a slightly different shape than you would have her if you'd had that weight on her back the whole way through. So we just want to make sure she's going well enough that we can push on. Or last time we got her back in, we did back off her for a few weeks after we got her to the jump out sort of stage. So we may just do that again. But look, all the roads will be decided on by how that horse gets through its next sort of 2 or 3 weeks.
Fantastic. We look forward to seeing how she shakes up. Fingers crossed she comes through okay. Sam, thank you very much for joining us early this morning after a huge couple of days for you and the team and the Grand Syndicate colours. Congratulations. It's great to see, the little guys come up with a horse like this. It keeps everybody's hopes burning in this industry.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sam Lyons there from Grand Syndicate. It is a terrific story, Warren, isn't it? That of Behemoth and that particular business playing at the lower end of the game and getting lots of people involved in racing that might not otherwise be able to afford to be.
Yeah, and Sam Lyons does a terrific job as the face of that business. I didn't know you'd actually worked together. I wasn't sure where you were going with that, Joe, because Sam's had an interesting past. He's done some stage work at times. When you said you worked with him, I wasn't sure where you were going.
No, I wasn't involved in any stage shows with Sam.
What about highlights from a pedigree point of view around Australia yesterday, Joe? Oh,
so many. Were there yesterday. A big day for Snitzel on the track, wasn't it? Of course, Bruckner defying Artorias in the McNeil Stakes yesterday at Caulfield. Isn't he a beautiful-looking horse, Bruckner?
Yeah, he's very athletic. Those dark-coloured horses always take your eye. I wasn't on course yesterday, so I haven't seen him in the flesh, but I was actually watching it at home with my wife, and she commented what a lovely-looking horse he was, and obviously Artorias is a real imposing animal as well. But, yeah, very athletic style of horse and a lovely looker as Bruckner.
Yeah. So that segues into the fact that we saw the Blue Diamond winner, Artorias, defeated yesterday, albeit it was a lovely return from him. And up at Kembla Grange, the Golden Slipper winner, same side, a moderate performance there. What were your views on his efforts?
Yeah, I'd like to... Well, I'm going to have a chat to Ray Thomas shortly. So interested in feedback, not really knowing the Kembla Grange track that well, and they don't run 1,100-metre races there. There was a lot of commentary prior to the meeting or prior to the race about the geometry of the track and short run to the first bend and then a long sweeping bend, etc. And it was only 2 and a bit lengths across the whole field. So I'm not too sure what to make of it, Joe. So I'd probably want to see those horses again in particular stay inside. I wouldn't be condemning him on first sorts of what I saw yesterday, and he did have to make a bit of ground round a bend, but interested to hear get Ray Thomas's thoughts shortly.
Yeah, okay. Back to Caulfield and some of the other highlights. Great to see Probabil into the winner's circle as well, taking out the Group 3 Cochram Stakes. It was a terrific seasonal debut from her.
Yeah, she's just been a bit of a benchmark, hasn't she? And we know she's very competitive at the absolute elite level. I suppose the query was, whether she'd be sharp enough for the 1,200, but her class took her a long way. And, onwards and upwards for her. Great to have her over here in Australia and got out of the lockdown in New Zealand to be able to be here and race. And Jamie Edwards has done a terrific job with her right throughout her career. Not Jamie Edwards, Jamie Richards, I'm sorry. I'm sure Jamie Edwards would love to train Probabil, Joe.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. And, of course, the Heath, the Group 3, was won by Masked Crusader. Terrific performance there and no effort in the listed heavily stakes as well.
Yep. Good racing right throughout the day. I'm looking forward to chatting about those races with Dean Lester and Dan Malecki after 9 o'clock. But what an electrifying performance in particular from Masked Crusader. I think he's going to be pretty high on the list in terms of best performances of the day, Joe.
Yeah. And one other highlight worth noting from a bloodstock point of view was the performance, a winning one by Coast watching the Group 3 Ming Dynasty at Kembla Grange yesterday, carrying the Coolmore colours. Looks a really exciting prospect for the spring. And just before I go, I'd like to pay tribute to Minnie Connellan, probably more familiar to our New South Wales-based followers and listeners, but Minnie was the long-time social media manager for the Australian Turf Club, Warren, and a much-loved and very popular figure in the racing world. I had the pleasure of knowing Minnie for a long, long time. She unfortunately passed away during the week at too young an age, 43, after a 10-year battle with cancer. And a horse like Winx was very much influential in the longevity of her life. She loved following Winx and being at the races with her, and very sad day when she passed away on Friday.
Yeah, her social media depiction of the journey that she had, just it showed what courage and positivity she had. Joe, I know she was an inspiration to many and just almost universally loved.
She certainly was.
Nice to chat, Joe. Look forward to chatting next week. And racing continues, and we actually will be into the springtime by the time we chat next week.
We will. Look forward to it. Thanks, Warren.